The Labour Department have released some new unemployment numbers today. Jobless rate jumps to 8.5%. That's the highest since the late 1983. Payrolls drop 663,000. So what do these numbers mean? Best person for us to ask is our friend Kelly Evans from the Wall Street Journal Economics. She's one of their reporters. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
Great to have you on board. We have actually been asking all morning about where people are, what they're up to, for a little bit of an experiment that we've been doing. It'd be interesting to see how many people actually are not doing anything at all.
Hi, my name is Heather. I am currently in Lathrop Village, Michigan. I am in my car on my way to the part-time job I have while I'm collecting unemployment, trying to find a full-time job.
Hey, it's McPaul in Montclair, New Jersey. I'm making breakfast for the kids who are about to go to school, and then I'm going to go back to bed because I don't have a job.
So, Kelly, we get a really good sense from our community of listeners here on the takeaway that people are having trouble finding work. So what do these numbers actually mean, these new numbers mean, as far as the recession is concerned?
I think one thing they do is show people that as bad as the recession has felt over the last couple months, in fact, it's been that bad. We didn't just get a number for March, that decline of 600,000 jobs or so. We also saw revisions to previous months. And in fact, now it looks like January lost something like 750,000 jobs. So in the unemployment rate, jumped this most recent month to 8.5% from 8.1%. That was the highest since, in about 24 years. Now, I think what it does, the people will look at this and say, well, wait a minute, we've been hearing a lot of talk in recent weeks about, green shoots of hope in the economy, and yet we get a report like this that seems to suggest things are really, really bad. And they're not inconsistent, in fact. What this shows us is that, employment, these kinds of numbers are reflecting the pain that a lot of U.S. businesses are going through right now. We know corporate profits at the end of last year fell by, $250 billion as the credit market seized up and as consumer spending sort of dried up. And that has left companies scrambling to sort of help reduce costs any way they can, and most of their biggest cost is labor. So a lot of the layoff announcements we've heard in the last couple of months and a lot of this rise in unemployment is related to that, related to the fact that there are fewer and fewer job openings. It's not just the layoffs. It's that there are actually fewer positions now than there have been in the past.
Kelly, when we talked to you last week, you were talking about confidence. When will we actually see the numbers for unemployment figures actually going down rather than up?
That's a great question. That's certainly what we're looking to keep an eye on right now because, again, even if we're looking at early signs of stabilization in housing or retail sales, I mean, this report is much more reflecting the general state of the economy right now. And the early leading indicators in the report were not hopeful. If you look at the average length of the work week, it was fell down to a new record low, something like 33.2 hours. If you look at temporary employment, that was up, suggesting that more people that was down, so that suggesting that firms aren't even hiring temp workers ahead of a pickup in activity, that they're still shedding those people. If you look at the part-time unemployed, like your caller had mentioned, that has increased by another 500,000 to 9 million people who would prefer to be working full-time. The number of long-term unemployed is 3 million. The average length of unemployment is 20 weeks. It's almost long-term unemployed right now.
Now, we're looking at a couple of really interesting and, quite frankly, negative structural trends going on here. You've kind of identified both of them. Let's focus on them for a moment. I mean, if the credit markets unfreeze, they're not going to come back to the way they used to be. So we're seeing structural changes in the way businesses do business, which is going to permanently affect the number of jobs in the U.S. economy. We're also seeing, we've talked to some workers already this morning, who have completely changed the way they're viewing their own futures. They once self-identified as being in the construction market, now they have no idea what they're going to do. It's going to take years for these two things to shake out, even if there's a turnaround in a small way tomorrow, right?
Absolutely. I think that's why a lot of the figures we're seeing in terms of how sharp the monthly layoffs have been and the total percentage of job losses, we're now going back to sort of the post-World War II adjustment that the U.S. economy went through, which in fact has some parallels to what's happening now. I mean, there's sort of this fundamental shift happening in the economy, and The interesting thing is that the only sector that continued to add jobs last month yet again was healthcare. Even government, state, and local jobs were lost as they go through some budget woes. It was across the board: construction, manufacturing, professional services, all these retail jobs that, you know, again, people used to sort of trade down into them when they were laid off, and now even those aren't available. So now we're seeing that a lot of people who had been employed there were seeing rising poverty among that group. So again, I think what you're saying is exactly what a lot of households are frustrated by right now, which is that, well, great, you know, sure, there are some early signs of, you know, maybe the end of declines in U.S. Economic growth, but it's not nearly the same thing as saying that the unemployment rate is about to recover. And certainly a lot of people see it hitting 10 or 11% over the next year, year and a half. It's definitely sort of a structural shift that we're going through.
So, Kelly, our 8.5% for unemployment figures nationwide in March actually equals 13.2 million people out of work. Some of our listeners are amongst that number.
Hi, my name is Lori Ludmer, and I'm calling from Teaneck, New Jersey, and I just drove my daughter to work, and I'm going to relax. I am unemployed.
Hello, this is Anne, and I'm sitting down to start looking for a job. That's what I'm doing.
So you talked about confidence last week, Kelly. If we were looking at perhaps the last recession and where the recession got to in terms of unemployment figures, where would we be? Could you actually compare a last recession with this recession and know where we are? Are we still at the bottom? Are we coming out of it?
Well, one interesting thing that's happened in the last two recessions, the 2001 recession and then the one in the early 1990s, from 1990 to 1991, they were both relatively short, about 8 months, and what happened, though, is that unemployment and job losses continued after those recessions technically ended. So, you know, let's take the most recent one. The 2001 recession lasted from March to November of that year, while the unemployment rate continued to rise through mid-2003. That's why you heard a lot of talk about a jobless recovery. And that's why when we're talking about now, you know, a possibility that U.S. growth could turn positive later this year, it means that there could be several months, you know, perhaps years of trouble in the labor market. And when you get, you know, I've spoken with some economists about this, when you get unemployment near double digits, it's more of a structural sort of factor of the economy you have to work on, and it takes strong economic growth to bring those figures down. You know, it doesn't mean that if we creep along at a 2% growth pace, that that's going to help bring that down. No, you need something like 5 to 6%. So there are plenty of challenges. And perhaps as consumer spending as consumers stay frugal, I think that government spending is going to probably drive a lot of sort of absorption in the labor market
For a while, Kelly. I mean, there are a lot of milestones out there. Listen to one of our listeners' milestones.
Hi, this is Francine. I'm in Brooklyn, and I'm enjoying the last month of my severance package, and I know that all will be well.
So severance packages going away, unemployment insurance going away, those are additional milestones that will have economic consequences as we look at these numbers in the next several 6-8 months.
Certainly, but I think the Obama administration is very attuned to the need to fund unemployment insurance and things like that. I mean, a lot of the states at this point have totally run out of their own and are borrowing from the federal government. So looking to support those programs, however possible, you know, as part of the debt or as part of the stimulus package that we've been hearing about. But, you know, again, if you look at the broadest measure of unemployment, in jargon we call this the U6 rate. It's found on Table 812 of the release. But basically it shows that the unemployment rate among people who are working part-time for economic reasons, people who are, you know, marginally attached to the labor force, is 15.6% as of March. That's sort of the broadest gauge of U.S. unemployment. It's a very, very high number, and I think a lot of people, including the people who are calling in, absolutely feel that that's the case and feel a part of that figure.
So, Kelly, we lost 663,000 jobs. That loss happened, and those losses happened back in January. I know you're an economics reporter, not a forecaster, but what's ahead?
Well, interestingly, some of the indication we've seen this morning, and what my favorite was Chris Rupke, a Bank of Tokyo economist, who said this is the storm before the calm. Again, a lot of people have been expecting unemployment to hit double digits for quite some time. It's not new. I wouldn't say there's anything about this report that necessarily changes the outlook. Maybe it sort of gives people a better idea of how severe and how sharp this downturn is. But again, we sort of expect this trouble in the unemployment in the labor market to continue even if the U.S. economy starts to recover. So it doesn't really you know, help out a lot of households or help out a lot of people necessarily, but it is sort of a fact that we've seen in the last couple of recessions. One thing that could sort of counter that this time around is that because consumer spending was such an important part of the downturn, and because it's usually an important part of the recovery, you know, now there's less ability for people to use credit and debt to finance spending, certainly the way they have in the past. So income is more important than ever.
Thanks, Kelly.
Sure, certainly.
Thank you. Kelly Evans, she's the Wall Street Journal economics reporter, crunching the numbers for the latest figures for unemployment out today. That's Kelly Evans from the Wall Street Journal.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.